On Midwest Week, just because Illinois has a budget, that doesn't mean all its problems are over. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Brian Mackey, State House reporter in Springfield for Illinois Public Radio. Starting with the budget approved last week, Brian, despite the veto by Governor Bruce Rauner, what are the main features of the new budget?
Well, the main features are a combination of cuts and tax increases. On the cut side, higher education is cut by 10%. There are cuts to various other areas of state government, and there is also a tax increase, which has been getting a lot of press. It basically takes the tax almost up to the level it was after the last time Illinois raised taxes back in 2011. Some people call that the Governor Pat Quinn tax increase. Back then it was 5%. Now it's 4.95%. That was a rate that had been negotiated with Republicans by Democrats because the governor and some of his allies did not want to go back to that full 5%. So instead it's 4.95%, which is an increase of basically 1.2 percentage points. That's for the individual income tax rate.
Now, is that increase permanent or temporary, Brian?
That is a permanent increase. There had been some negotiations that maybe it would be temporary if the Democrats went along with a temporary property tax freeze. That's what the governor and some of his allies said they were willing to go along with. But ultimately, because the governor did not and the Democrats did not come to an agreement on those other issues, the Democrats just decided to make it permanent. The idea of the temporary tax increase did cause a lot of problems in the past. Of course, that's what sort of led to the impasse in the massive overspending state government has been doing for a couple of years now, because the tax rates, there was a tax cut that took effect at the beginning of Governor Rauner's term. This one is permanent, and I think Democrats did not want to have to be coming back and dealing with this again in a few years.
And how much will the increase raise, and will it be enough?
This will raise about $5 billion. To put that in perspective, Illinois is looking at spending, I think the number is, I'm just going off the top of my head here, about $36 billion this coming year. So will it be enough? Yes and no. So the current year budget is balanced, but we do have this $15 billion pile of bills that has been accumulating over the last couple of years of the impasse, because even though we haven't had a budget, that's not the same thing as not spending money. Illinois has been spending money through court orders and sort of automatic payments that don't need to be renewed every year. And in fact, we were spending so much on that, because the legislature and governor had not gotten it under control with a budget, that it was more than we were taking in from, as I mentioned, that tax cut. So we've built up about $15 billion in overdue bills. This plan does take into account some ways of beginning to pay that back down. It involves some borrowing, basically like refinancing your house when interest rates are lower. Right now, because of the state laws and penalties for not paying our bills on time, some of those overdue bills have interest rates over 10%. So the idea is we would go to the bond market and actually get a much more reasonable 3-4% interest rate and use that to pay it back, and then we won't have, we won't be burning as much money. There's one estimate I've seen that Illinois is, at the current rate, we're spending about $800 million a year in interest penalties alone, which is incredible. That's more than the state spends on most of our institutions of higher education.
Amazing. Now, Brian, I understand the new budget, one of the things it does not solve is funding for K-12 education. Why is that?
Yeah, so some people have called this a landmine, and the Republicans have been trying to say that the Democrats are trying to force the governor's hand here. The Democrats have a different take. It's pretty complicated, but Illinois spends some state money to school districts. There's something called the formula that allocates how that money is spent. Both Republicans and Democrats agree they don't like the formula as it exists now. They say it's 20 years old. It's unfair. It doesn't really send money to the neediest districts with the neediest students. So they had this big commission. The governor put it together, and Democrats and Republicans agreed to go with this thing called the evidence-based model, right? And so in order to implement this change, you have to change the budget bills that go into law and say, okay, don't use the old funding formula to allocate money to schools. Use the evidence-based formula. So that's what the budget bill did. Unfortunately, there hasn't actually been an evidence-based funding formula put into law yet because Democrats and Republicans can't agree on that. And it's not even so much that they can't agree on what that formula should be. There are ancillary issues about pensions for Chicago. Democrats point out that Chicago public school teacher pensions are the only ones that aren't paid for by the state. That's on the city's costs, whereas the state picks up the pensions of every other public school teacher in the state, basically. Republicans say, well, trying to make that equal, that's a bailout for Chicago. And so that's really, it's come down to these Chicago pensions. It's very complicated. But the short version of this story, though, is that unless some version of this so-called evidence-based funding model is put into law, no money can be sent to schools, and therefore schools potentially can't open. So we still are waiting on Democrats and Republicans to come together and figure out these issues around school funding and Chicago teacher pensions before schools will be able to get any money from the state this budget. And some schools say without that money, they're not going to be able to open this fall.
So should we look forward to another impasse over the summer? And who knows if schools will get funded?
You know, that is a good question. I don't really know yet. There is a question out here of, you know, up to 16 Republicans in the legislature. At one point, as many as 15 in the House. That's basically almost one in three Republicans, about 30% in the Illinois House, voted against the governor. But I've talked to some of them, and even one who lost a leadership position over this. He had been the floor leader of the House Republican caucus, what you might call the whip. He was the guy responsible for rounding up votes. He was asked to step down from that position and did. But even he said, you know, I wouldn't describe this as a break with the governor. They still want, you know, these business-friendly changes that the governor is looking for. They just felt like that you couldn't possibly get enough benefit out of that for the state from the damage that was being inflicted with the budget. But they said, you know, this, you know, just because we're voting for a budget does not mean we don't support the governor's principles on other areas. So I think it's an open question as to whether Democrats will be able to push through this change to school funding and you know, changing the way Chicago public school teacher pensions are funded with Republican support the way they were able to do with the budget.
Now, one of the things that kept going during the budget impasse was somehow or other both sides decided to keep funding K-12 schools. So somehow that's not the case anymore?
Well, yeah, that was something that both sides neither wanted to, because that helped keep this budget impasse out of public consciousness, I think. And so neither side really seemed to be willing to go that far to let this, you know, instead they focused on higher education and public universities and made them kind of starve, and they focused on human services. They were left without funding, but nobody wanted the schools to not open. But these are some pretty sticky issues, and you know, we're heading into a re-election campaign. The governor did a major change of his top staff this week and put in some people from a very conservative advocacy organization here in Springfield. It's part of the Koch Brothers State Policy Network, and so they have a very strident views that think that, you know, government employees and teachers make too much in their pensions and have wanted to see significant changes there. One person even advocated firing all state employees and making them reapply for their jobs so you could give them a lower quality pensions or a different type of retirement system. So not too many people think that would actually be a legal way to do that under the Illinois Constitution. But it just signals that there is a change coming from the administration, and we're still waiting to see how that plays out.